Hallelujah. Let's say this together. Our Father, today we receive your word, your will, your purpose, and your plan that is found in your Son. There is no contradiction or confusion in his atmosphere. We have precision and clarity and revelation in the knowledge of your Son. We behold him as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. All right, 1 Peter 2:2. We started in the first service. Is this spiritual growth? That's the question we want to answer. Is this spiritual growth? And you really need to have been in the first service from the look of things of how we're going to start. 1 Peter 2:2. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes. Now, obviously, that's not the beginning of that conversation, because the previous verse says, wherefore, laying aside all malice. And the word to lay aside is the word apothitemi. A-P-O-T-H or A-P-O-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. The same terminology used for spiritual growth, actually. Because in spiritual growth, you do something. Let's see where it's used. In Romans 13:12, it says you should cast off works of darkness. Cast it off. Take it away. In Ephesians 4:22, put away. It talks about putting away the deeds of the old man. Ephesians 4:25 too. And Colossians 3:8. So in spiritual growth, you put things away. Spiritual growth doesn't happen unconsciously. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So there's a putting away, which he refers to here. James 1:21, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word that he able to save the soul. Now, the putting away is not once and for all. We'll see that as we go further. The attitude of putting away consistently is the proof of growth. That attitude of putting away consistently is the proof of growth, because spiritual growth is not an end. It's a continuous tense of the believer. We'll see that, you know, as we proceed further. So, why did he say this? Again, the putting away is related to verse 2, because when we are putting it away, because you are growing thereby. Now, what did he say before that? Verse 25, chapter 1. But the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, this is the gospel preached unto you. And we said in the first service, you cannot build spiritual growth on false salvation. Spiritual growth can only be built on salvation. If you can build something or nothing. We sometimes assume that people are very, very active. I remember when I got saved, there was a brother. Now I can't call him a brother now because of what I know. Then I used to see him active in the fellowship, in the ministry. So later on, not less than 2-3 months, he wasn't active again. He became a bad boy. We call it backslid. In fact, somebody once said he had a dream that the brother had 666, something like that. But the point was, I engaged him one day. He said, you know what? I never believed in Jesus Christ. He said that. He said, it was just because my parents insisted. And so to satisfy them, and his brother was speaking in tongues. said, I still know him. I still talk to him. He said he had never. If at the point he subscribed to the Rosicrucian order. So you can't build something on nothing. So the first thing before the taking away is that there is a gospel that has been preached unto you. And in the morning we looked at Christ's explanation. He said the gospel preached unto you. Then in verse 23, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Now the word being born again, he repeats it because he had mentioned it in verse 3, where he says, that's 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, what he's saying, the word is anagenoa, A-N-A-G-E-N-N-A-O, Genaho, sorry. A-N-A-G-E-N-N-A-O. So the background will always be the new birth. When people are taught to change their ways without the new birth, that's not Christianity. A lot of religions have changed of ways. That's not the point. That is putting the cart before the horse. So, for example, before James says to put away all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness in James 1:21, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That doesn't refer to cars, houses, or things. Cars did not come from above. You know where they came from. Neither did money. When it says from above, he's referring to the new birth. Because verse 18 explains verse 17. Of his own will begat he us. So the good gift and perfect gift there is the born again man. And the use of giving uses there, one of them is doses, refers to what God did by himself. That's why he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits. And we said in the first service, it's not sufficient to know the scriptures. It is Christ in the scriptures that gives eternal life. And so he says, the word of truth, which is the gospel. So, therefore, my beloved brethren, then he says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You cannot be told to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, if you are not born of his will. So the background of the action is the new birth. Spiritual growth is spiritual growth in salvation. It's not spiritual growth for salvation, like some people preach it. And so, you have those who have joined churches and they've accustomed themselves to how they dress there, how they talk, and they join the church and the departments, but they are not believers. Because they probably joined the church to correct a moral fault or to do something. But that's not salvation. And so, again, before Paul will tell you to cast off the works of darkness, in Romans 13:12, he had said it. In Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. In Romans 10:8, what said it? The word is nigh thee, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. If you will believe with your heart, the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It's not good enough to say, I believe in Jesus. No. That God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Before Paul will tell you in Ephesians 4:22 and 23 to take away or 25 to put away, he had told you in Ephesians 2:10, you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus with good works, which God had ordained beforehand that you should walk in them. So before you see those instructions, they are built on faith in Christ. They are built on the new birth. For example, look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 3. Now, if you have, before verse 3, sorry, chapter 2, verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who had raised him from the dead. Verse 13, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So he had said already that by faith you are raised from sins to life. So in chapter 3, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, look at it. Seek the things that are above. Now let me ask you, the things that are above, are they off this roof or where you are? Because you are risen with Christ. So that means look out for the things that came with the new birth. The characteristics or what belongs to the new creature, which is what Paul would call the fruit of the Spirit. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. He says, set your affection on things above, not things on the earth. That means the believer will have to be confronted with what he is in the earth and what he is above. What you are above is who you are in Christ. What you are in the earth, for example, will be the physical motions of the body, desires, thoughts. So he says, you will first of all recognize that you are risen with Christ. See, I'm risen with Christ. By faith in the gospel, I'm raised together with Jesus. So before the instruction must have been a nature, who you are. It is who we are that makes those instructions effective. The instructions would have not been effective if we are not born again. You won't be different from that Pharisee who said, I don't steal, I don't kill, I'm not a fornicator, I'm not an adulterer. I pay my tithe, I fast twice a week. I am not like this fellow here. Now, none of the guy said, Jesus never said the guy was lying. He only said, he is proud and he will be debased. He said, but that other guy that said, look, be merciful unto me, have a sacrifice for my sins. So that one is exalted. So it doesn't start with works. Christianity never starts with works. It starts with faith without works. And that faith now produces its own works. So faith in the gospel is where we receive forgiveness of sins, where we are raised together with Christ, and then we sit in him. That's it. So he, 1 Peter 2 again. So when he says, as new born babes, which is a function of the gospel that you believe, as new born babes, desire, he says, the sincere milk of the word. And this is important. You know, we dealt with that in the first episode. Let's drag it home a bit more. When it says desire the sincere milk of the word, that means what you listen to matters. The word sincere is from the word adolos. A-D-O-L-O-R. Sorry, S. Adolos. Adolos has two words. Now, when you have the word alpha, alpha is what? Negative. Very good. Alpha and dolos. Now, what does dolos mean? Interestingly, he uses the word dolos, which is sincere. In 1 Peter 2:1, which he called guile. Guile. 1 Peter 2:1. Or guile. Trickery. Then, in 1 Peter 2:22, he talks about Jesus, and he says, there was no guile found in his mouth. No guile found in his mouth. That's Jesus now. There was no guile found in his mouth. Verse 22. No guile found in what he said. 1 Peter 3:10. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. So guile is deception. What it means is anyone who is listening to a false doctrine cannot grow, no matter how committed he is. It says the sincere idolater without deceit. Like we said in the first service, that there can be salvation if the message is wrong. Same way, there can be growth. Look at Ephesians 4:11. Paul says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, which is to equip the saints, all right? For that's what katatismos, to equip the saints, to put in a proper place of function. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then he says, till we all come, now the word all come there, is not the body of Christ holding their hands together in National Stadium. No. It means individually who arrive. It calls it the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, if salvation is the gospel of Christ, spiritual growth is also the message of Christ. Then he says, that we henceforth be no more children, Ephesians 4:14, the word he uses there, children, is the word nepios. Nepios is infant. Somebody that refuses to grow. Infant. It begins to do things that are unexpected. Why would you do this? You know, it's hard, for example, for a six-year-old boy. You know, a six-year-old boy, you now see him with a feeding bottle. Are you acting a drama? That's what's going to happen. Is there a camera around? He says, no, that's how I feed. Maybe he's sick. Because it's not normal. When I got to secondary school, for example, the first day, I was bubbling in the bunny house. And normally, when you enter government college the first week, they call it week of grace, where you can do what you like. The seniors will not touch you. I never enjoyed it. Because as I got in my room four, I saw a bed wet. Somebody had wet the bed. The stench was strong. I said, who is this? This kind of person shouldn't be in the secondary school. It was a Form 5 boy. And I kept saying it. I was the guy came, what did you just say? I repeated myself with much bravado. By the time it was done with me, I learned self-control. You don't see everything that you see. You get that? But I felt that you can't wet the bed in Form 5. Form 5 is now what they call SS2. But then he did. The interesting part was that particular guy wet the bed till he finished. But only his mate spoke about it. Every other person walked by faith about it. You have to walk by faith and not by sight. So Paul says that we no more be babes. You're doing things that are not expected of you. E.W. Kenyon will say, some have the feeding bottles for too long, that even the new converts have no feeding bottles again. They want care, attention. You say, well, did you not notice I was not in church last 2 weeks and last week? Well, you didn't notice. You have been a Christian from the Passover of Exodus 12. You expect somebody to be checking you. And they'll boast. Yes! Where is the law? In the churches. If you are the one, we are checking. 1 year, 2 years. You are the only one. We are bringing you to church. Some of you, they drag you to service. They wore your shoe for you. Wear it, wear it. It's like, wear it, wear it. Let's go. Are we going now? No. At your age, both natural, emotional, they are bringing you to church. They are almost backing you. To the church. You will not get to that door. You'll be forming big boy. You are a baby. We're not there yet. Let's leave that one for the later time. So Paul says, henceforth be no more nepios. Toss, toe, and fro. He says, by every wind of doctrine, they are carried about. Babes are not consistent. Today they will like this one. Tomorrow they will like something. They will like this one. They will like this one. By every wind of doctrine, then he says, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby the word lie in wait, the word deceive, there's what plan a hole. Now listen carefully. Is he talking to the unbeliever here or the believer? So that means the believer can be carried about. Anyone who is carried about like that is a what? Is what? A spiritual infant. Why? Because he is not feeding on the right information. So, without the correct information, there cannot be growth. There can't be. You can't have growth with a false doctrine. Just like you can't have salvation. Some guys will start with the gospel. They believe the gospel. Okay? They believe. They're saved. But then they now delve into false doctrine. That's why many of us, you know, I told someone this, a friend of mine, we traveled together. So I said, you know something? It wasn't difficult for me, for example, to spot some teachings were wrong. You know why? Because when I received the gospel, there was no motive. I wasn't trying to be rich. I just wanted my sins forgiven and I wanted to get to heaven. So the moment someone tells me the gospel is about eternal things, it wasn't difficult for me to see it. It wasn't. So, but some folks, they are struggling with that because it's likely they were never saved. It's likely. I said that in the morning. I don't remember the lesson in the morning. I mean, you need to understand what was in the morning. I'm going to go over it again. You see, so it's likely. So here we are. He says, when a man is carried away, he can't grow. He will remain a babe. And you can be in church for long and you are a babe. That's why the apostles were very strong about the kind of messages believers were listening to. Remember that the letters were not written to the world. So when they warn about false teachings, they are warning believers. They're not to the world. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:17. Look at Romans 16. A love for false teaching is a proof of infancy. Infancy. A love for it. A love for it. A guy was talking to me, and I saw what he said about material wealth. And I asked him a question. I said, you just lied. That churches that do not preach and emphasize material prosperity do not want their members to prosper. And I asked him a fundamental question. I mentioned many people in the world who are wealthy. I said, do they listen to your sermon? He said, no. So what you just said now is to deceive people. If the wealthiest people don't listen to you, why are you saying the reasons why believers are not prospering is because they're not listening to you? You know you just deceive people. Who's following what I'm saying? You are deceiving people. Then he kept quiet. So see, the materialism gospel is actually very unintelligent. It makes you look stupid. I said, and I asked the question. I said, young man, have you listened to our teaching, material prosperity, what Jesus taught? He said, I heard it, sir. He said, but I am being practical here. So what do you mean? He said, ever since I started listening to you, I know what I went through. I didn't have money like before. And I asked him a question. Apart from preaching, what do you do? He said, nothing. I said, good day. That's where the problem is. And so the apostles were strong about the kind of information that came out. They were strong. See, sometimes we just give a whole lot. And you see, the thing is this. It is a teaching or a doctrine of control. It's control. But we all know that beneath human needs is money. So the moment I can attach it to the church, people will keep coming. That's the point. Have you not been coming? You have been coming. Have you been hearing how to make money? Well, you have been coming. Do you not want money? You don't want it. I pray. I want money. The kind of money I want when they sell you and you and you and you. He can't get it. But not via the gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the real prosperity message. Go and use your brain, your connection, your relationship. If you are dull, go and increase the tempo of your sharpness. It's as simple as that. Somebody loses his job in Nigeria. He goes to a camp and he's praying, fasting. Why? What happened? Why me? Why? He's there. And when he leaves the camp, he's suspecting everybody around him. Somebody loses his job in Norway. He goes on Google, how to improve my skills. How to be employable. The guy in Google gets the job. In Norway gets the job maybe the month after. The guy in Nigeria is sowing seeds. Who's following what I'm saying here? Many of you know when I talk to you, I say, what is your career path? What are you doing? Why have you not done this one? He says, sir, I want to do anything. I said, keep following me. Let's be going around. You want to do anything? Follow me. Take off your cross. Let's go. How can you go to do anything? Praise the Lord. Let me leave this matter. 2 Corinthians 2:17. So they were particular about what the churches were listening to. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. The word corrupt the word of God there means to peddle it. Come and hear it. You will become something. It will give you something. Which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God in the sight of God, we speak Christ or speak in Christ. So a believer can be exposed to those people he's talking about in verse 17, right? Come on now. Look at another one. Philippians 3:18. Paul says in Philippians 3, said, I warn you, in fact, before Philippians 3, in Galatians, he also talked about those who were listening to legalism. Oh, foolish Galatians, he says, chapter 3, verse 1. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, in whose eyes Jesus Christ evidently said, who are crucified among you? Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Have you begun in the Spirit? You now seek to be perfected in the flesh? In chapter 5, verse 4, it says you are falling from grace. So when you begin to hear works, do it so that God will do it. Do it so that God will do it. You cannot grow. That's what Paul is saying. Legalism and materialism are the two things that the apostles taught against. The two. A friend of mine would say, legalism is the classroom. Materialism is the exam. You have to pass both. So he says here, in Philippians 3, verse 18, for many walk of whom I told you often, are you there? I now tell you even with what? Weeping. That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? Whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things? If a believer hears these things, would he grow? No. If he loves it, he won't grow. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul warns Timothy. But those who don't hold verse 6, verse 2, 3, 4, who don't have the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ. He said, as soon as they say gain or godliness produces gain, he said, you should pray for them. Withdraw. Because without withdrawing, you will not grow. So there is a diet that brings spiritual growth. There's a diet. So go on to 1 Peter 2. You learning something here? Are you learning something? 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire what? What's it say again? Without lies. Without tricks. Without deceit. James will call it engrafted word. Paul says without the word with sincerity. You know, so they qualified the message. And how did they know? If it has gain, it's not sincere. If it works days, it's not the truth of the gospel. Realize these things. So it says, desire the sincere milk of the word. The word milk is the word gala. Some of you like gala, right? So let me say gala. When I say gala, I say, no wonder. I think it's so spiritual. Gala. You know? It says the milk of the word, which is the word gala. Oh, Jesus. I said it. It's a mode of communication, not a message in the Bible. A mode of communication. For example, I want to talk to you about submission. About submission. Like Paul did in Corinth. I'm not saying, if a woman have long hair, that's gala. But when he got to Ephesus, he said, woman, submit to your husband. Simple. And what he said? In teaching how to walk in love, he told them in Corinth, he said, remember the Lord Jesus the night he was taken away. Gala. But when he got to Ephesus, he says, forgive one another. God has forgiven you in Christ. Straightforward. So it's a mode of communication. So when a man is a newborn babe, the mode of communication may require that we go through that axis. That's why Paul meant in 1 Corinthians 3:1, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto nepios. I have fed you, that's babes now, I have fed you with milk, gala. That is the way I spoke to you. So it's a mode of communication. So it's a sincere milk. So gala is a way we wean someone. I like how dear friend of mine said, say you are taking them from milk to meat. That's true. The sincere milk of the word what there, is the word logikon. L-O-G-I-K-O-N. It's used for reasoning. A message to reason with. The same word in logikon is used in Romans 12:1, where he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable. That is, it has affected the way you think, act of worship. That's why I say, be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So, the milk of the word is that which changes your thinking. So, spiritual growth is reflected in how you now think. If your thinking has not changed, it simply means you are not growing. Remember, Paul says, I thought as a man, as a child, I understood as a child, I spoke as a child. 1 Corinthians 13:11. So your reasoning is altered by the word. Go back to Matthew 28 quickly. So spiritual growth. No, stay a bit in 1 Peter 2. I just skipped something. That you may grow thereby. The word thereby is actually that you may grow in salvation. You know, earlier we looked at that. I'll just run through that in a moment. So you may grow thereby. You grow in salvation. So go back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, 18, Jesus says, all authority is given me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. So, look at this now. The word make disciples is the word matheteo. You know that already. It means to train people how to think, how to talk, how to act. I'm not saying that there's not a way everybody talks. Shush. Tisha. No. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm not saying the phonetics or no. I'm saying our conduct is now changed by teaching. The challenge many times is that people want to get folks to change their conduct when those folks are not even saved. And sometimes they are saved, but the kind of information they use is not the milk of the word. It's not, because it has to be the milk of the word. The word has to be the gospel. Spiritual growth is still by the gospel. The same elements, the same details, the same facts of the new birth, the same facts of the gospel that saves, are the same facts of the gospel that causes you to grow. The same facts. That is why all the sermons in the book of Acts, between 11 and 13 of them, you will find in them truth for spiritual growth. So the reality is this. The growth of a believer, pardon me, is via the same message. So he says, making disciples. The word disciple is mathetes, a learner, from the word mantano. A learner. Somebody who takes instructions. Somebody who takes information. You are not supposed to grow by adding what you used to know with the gospel. It must be sincere milk of the word. And so, without the gospel, there can't be salvation. And without the gospel, there can't be growth. So, in the morning, we looked at the parable of the sower. Let's get back there, Matthew 13. There were four scenarios that Jesus painted. And I told you why that parable is important. Who can remember what I said? Mark 4:13, right? Because Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how would you understand all the parables? And so that already shows you that if this parable was a parable of salvation, that means that all the parables Jesus gave, they were about salvation. About receiving the message of salvation. So, this parable unlocks the other ones for us. And so, we said, it addresses his present audience. Or addressed his present audience. The first one, he says, Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. He hears the word by the wayside. It's very likely this one is not even paying attention. He probably came to church, and sometimes it could be our fault. We don't spend time enough with the word. We give them a lot of music, comedy, and stuff like that. So by the time the gospel is preached, he doesn't even understand what it is. And Jesus said, Satan came 6 hours after. Huh? Immediately. And took away what was sown in his heart. There was nothing wrong with the message. So we could have people like that, and they were around Jesus. who are just following him. But they never understood it. They never understood it. They just followed him. The second group, he says, they heard the word on a stony surface. Rocky. That means they were difficult to be persuaded. There was no persuasion. There was no persuasion. But they now had the acts of believers. They were acting like Christians. They were excited. They were happy, excited. Woo! Those are excited guys. You'll find them in concerts. They'll be in praise. They will like praise worship a lot. They can dance their life. When I was passing the band, somebody told me, "Say, sir, I like what you are teaching. Thank you for the grace of God upon your life." I said, "But why are you not allowing us to really celebrate our Lord?" I said, "The kind of person I am, I like to remove my dress in service and sweat." I said, "Not here." So he says, "Those folks, they are excited. Excited. They are happy. Very happy." Use the word chariot. They're woo, 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 woo. They're going all over the place. He said, so they believe for a while. But the moment afflictions will come, persecutions. The truth is this. When you see a man turn away when there is persecution for the gospel, it's likely he was never saved. It's a proof of salvation. And these folks are excited. But the moment persecution came, Jesus said they fell away. He uses the word very strong. Apotitemi. They fell off. Why? They never believed. Now, in that category, you have his own disciples. Remember? One day he's talking. He says, "Don't you believe me?" He said, "You say a hard thing, Master." And many of them left him and walked not with him again. That's a set. The other set were his own apostles. The moment there was persecution, everybody ran for their life. Did they work miracles? Did they heal the sick? They did. But they believed for a while. And so that's what makes Judas's case very, very pitiful. He was one of them. He believed for a while. For a while. Because by the time, write this down, by the time they came to arrest Jesus, his popularity had dwindled. He was affected. That was why when they arrested him, not many people were with him. If he was that popular, they would have raged against the authorities. But at that point, miracles had stopped, as it were. Signs and wonders. Not stopped really, but it wasn't more prominent again. And so they walked away. Peter, Thomas, was even worse. Thomas said, even when he rose from there, Thomas said, "Look, I need to see him." That is someone that was not a believer. So a man can be following and he's doing all the motions. That's what he told them in Luke 10. He said, when they came back, "Lord, even the demons are subject to your name." He said, "Rejoice not that the demons are subject to you. Rather, that your names are registered in heaven." So, can you see, they're excited by casting out of demons. He said, "No, true joy is that you are born again." Excited, guys. So that's a group. Now, can that group, can they be in the ushering department? Sorry, guys. I said the choir in the first, the music team in the first service. Can they be in the protocol team? It's even likely they can rise to be pastors if not much vigilance is done. Someone told me one, he said, something happened to me, sir. I said, what? He said, sir, that was in 2007. He said, I was with this in our church, the church in Lagos here. He said, the head of the choir, a church that everybody knows, that they finished the choir practice. They now said, all these things that we're able to say, Jesus rose from the dead, he's coming again. Do you really believe it? Bro, what do you say, bro? He said, ah. Let's see. All these things you are saying. They are saying my own. Say, bro, don't say. Bro is not a believer. There's no point. Bro is not saved. He does not believe. But he says, don't they act it in movies? Bro is not saved. We have the third category that Jesus mentioned. He said, those ones heard it, and we looked at that in the first service. It fell, they received it. And we said, those ones are believers, but he says, it fell among thorns. It was now choked. What the choke means to be crowded. The word didn't die, the word wasn't rejected, but it is right there. And he says, it brings no fruit. Why? He said, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasure of his life. Those are the people who are born again, and they are not growing spiritually. So they begin to act their money. They will come to the service. Or among believers. I mean, you are among believers. And you purposely brought out your car keys. Purposely. It's not a mistake. Someone say, can I do something? Say, let me see. You know where the thing is. Wow. So sorry, man. Too bad. They are the ones that are slaying Christians. I want to slay. Say the pleasure of this life. They are born again. Paul says, are you not carnal? I walk as men. You have those. I told you that I'll repeat the story again. About a brother in a church who, as he grew in the ranks in his organization, became an MD of a multinational. So he had no time. They would beg him, bro, come for prayer meeting. Bro, come for this one. Say, you know my job. You know I have to travel out. I have to do this one. So, after a while, they gave up. I know a brother like that. His boss evangelism. Philip will learn from him. Philip went down to Samaria. He went down. He will be in the bosses. Then he passed his ICAN exam. People celebrated. Then he got a job. It was 2001 or so. Imagine back then, he got a job and they were paying him 200,000. Then, that one, God win. He began to act differently. He stopped doing the evangelism. He's a believer. He will be in the church. He is now a giver. Do you know why he's a giver? That's the deceitfulness of riches. He's now a giver. And the church sometimes, some of the churches, not most, have created that kind of class of people. People have come to this church and they've offered to give money and we said no. Come first. When you taste membership class, you move to study group, you will know whether you should stay or go. Then when you are giving, you are giving as a proof of devotion to the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. And that brother, he stopped. He now became, eventually, I got the years wrong. I think I was upset in the 90s, not even 2000 or something. He now became the treasurer of one of the banks that eventually had a problem. But it was a major treasurer of the bank. No. I think the chief CFO, something like that. Till the bank stopped, is now simply devoted. Why should that happen? So this other man, he became the MD. He had no time, but he'll be sending offering. You know, he just carried the account. And if a pastor that, you know, he'll say, you thank God for your life. But the pastor was bothered. Because he knew this fellow way before. Then, all of a sudden, he started seeing him in church. Very consistent, committed. He had not lost his job. Very committed. Then he found out he had just been diagnosed of a terminal disease. Oh. So you had time to go to the doctor. I thought you were so busy. You had time for checkup. You had the time for the surgery. Post surgery. Oh, so you now have time. It wasn't that he never had time. He stopped putting the gospel as priority. So, the only people that don't have time are those who are dead. You create time for what you believe in. I had a friend, but I know him, a pilot. And he used to fly overseas. And I know times where he will fly and then he'll get back to Nigeria because he's a missionary. And as he lands, he goes to the hotel, picks up his stuff and heads for the mission field. He goes there 1 week. He comes back, spends some time with his family, heads back, he's in the air across the world. He comes back again, he continues. We have doctors. There's nothing you are doing in life that there will not be somebody doing what you are doing. Having time for something else precious. It's just priority. Priority. Presidents who are busy spend time with other things. Those in your office, they go to clubs, right? Some every day. Every day. They go to parties. They visit people. Every day, they go to clubs. So you can't say, it's what I'm doing. No. So, these are original place of this. I say, crowd the world. They now begin to act it. A guy that will respect people in the world. If he sees the governor, and in a party, he sees the governor, he puts his hands behind him. He's 50, the governor is 45. Or 40 something. He puts his hand like this. Restless. They want to cut cake. He rushes there so that they put down in punch. The cake is here. All the business are here. He now comes to church. He comes late. Don't you know that it is your carnality that is smelly? He even has a PA. Maybe his house boy. You don't sit there. The usher says, that place is, don't worry. Calm down. Or you can sit down here. Look at the usher. Up, down. How do you? The world has been crowded. He's not bearing fruit. If God, who made the earth, can become a man, who is you? Who is you? You know that story? You know it by now. There's a story called Who is You? Who is you? God! Paul says, let this mind, right, be in you. Let us find out where you live and say, ah, he's a Christian. Not say it in the middle of prayer. Father, let people who live in Makoko come and join me in Banana Island in Jesus' name. Everybody, amen. Are you following what I'm saying? That category, they'll be in the church. The moment you are not preaching about finances, they are flipping off. So it's not just the ritual. As soon as you say, five things to do to move to the next level in your finances, you will think they don't take notes before. They will bring out big pen. Or you are teaching marriage. Six ways to woo the hardest babe. How to be the recommended boo. Their ears come like, yeah! They are alive in the service. The pleasures of this life. It will crowd the world and they become unfruitful. That's what the word says. So, Jesus presents those four scenarios. The first soil, the second soil, the third. Judas is one of such. That's why, you know, you have to know what people really believe. Judas was called a son of perdition. The word used for Judas is a strong word. Think of the word apolumi. It means destroyed totally. The others, they were also doubters, but they did not die that way. But Judas died that way because he didn't hear the message. If he heard it, he did not believe it. Luke 24, 44. Jesus said, these are the things I said when I was with you. So they heard it. How come they did not believe it? Because with many of them, they were rejoicers. Hey! 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 They brought a sword, cut out people, someone's ear. Jesus put it back and they arrested Jesus. Hey. They saw him on the cross. He said, it is finished. It is finished what? Then I said, unto your hands I commit my... Then he gave up the ghost. And everybody ran. And immediately, to know that they were not sick, Peter began to deny. When you are fasting, you don't lie. I've never met this Jesus before. He was not a believer. He was an excited person. But he believed later. He opened it, their understanding. That they may understand the scriptures. The 12 were like that. In John 6, look at John 6. I told you that in the morning. When he began to preach the words of salvation, they walked away. They walked away. And the Bible says they did not follow him anymore. John 6, 66. They walked with him no more. John 66. They walked with him no more. So, a man can be exposed to the wrong doctrine. When he's exposed to the wrong doctrine, that is not the gospel of salvation, as a non-believer, he is not saved. He heard something, he goes to church, he's giving, he's committed, but what he's committed to is not Christ. He's not committed to Jesus. Because it has to be a Christ-centered message for it to be salvation. So he's committed to the church. He's committed to giving for something, sowing and reaping. He's committed to breakthrough. He's committed to preservation, protection, having children. That's what he's committed to. He is not committed to Jesus. Because he never heard about Jesus. So he cannot have the commitment that you want from him. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying. He's not. Because that was not what he believed. He didn't. Someone was telling me how she went for evangelism 2 years ago, December, and saw someone with a wristband of a church. And she was sharing, the person said, look, all the Jesus rose from there. I don't care about those kind of things. Said, I'm a deacon in my church. What will be on my table? What will put food on my table? Forget all this Jesus rose from there. What's that one? What's that one? likely he's also not a believer. Are you there? So, in Matthew 7, we're talking about, is this spiritual growth? That's what we're talking about. Is this spiritual growth? Matthew 7. 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Broad, he calls it. Broad is the way. The word is platus, used for a street or for many. Then when he says narrow, is the word stenos. A single path. Why did he say that? Because he is the only way. He is. He's not talking about a size that would not be struggling inside. No. He's just saying there's just one way to eternal life. And that's why some folks are against Christianity for claiming the exclusive preserve of salvation. But many, wide is the road to destruction, but only a single way to eternal life. That's what I believe. What about you? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14:6. So why did he say that? Watch this. Because straight is the great, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Now, he's not talking about the future. He's talking about the present tense, that there are few people who are listening to him. Why did he say that? The next verse. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raven wolves. So the wide way or the wide gate are the false prophets. He is that narrow way. Who's following that? Is that clear? Is that very clear? Very good. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings forth no good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Now listen carefully. He now says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that dwells the will of my Father is in heaven. Many will come to me in that day, say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Okay? Cast out devils, done many wonderful works. This is like Judas and many of those who followed him, and many of the prophets in his days. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. I never knew you. It doesn't mean I didn't know about you. It means that you were never saved. Judas wasn't saved. Because Jesus said, of all the ones you gave me, I kept except one. The son of perdition. Now, Jesus now defines it. Watch this. He says, therefore, because of what I've said, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that hears the sins of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. It fell, and great was the fall of it. What are the sayings? He is that narrow way. Are you following this? So when you believe that and you act upon it, you are built upon the rock. Then he says, the winds will come. Now listen carefully. Remember, as the winds came and the flood came, many of the disciples ran away. Do you understand what the winds mean now? Persecution, contradictions, afflictions for the gospel, they prove whether a man is a believer or not. And so they ran. So he defines this to us. So the message is his message. If you don't understand it, Satan takes it away. If you hear it on a stony ground, a difficult ground, You ignore the details of the gospel. You are just excited about something. You believe for a while, he says, and when there's a persecution, affliction for the world's sake, he says they will fall away and go away. Are you there? So the problem is not with the message. Because in the three instances, the Matthew 13, Luke 8, and Mark 4, he says the sower sowed the word. He says the word is the sower of the word of the kingdom. The seed, Luke 8, 11, is the word of God. So who is the sower? The sower is a preacher. The sower is a preacher. In this instance, Jesus. He sows the word. And men determine how they receive the word. Now, look at Matthew 13. I want you to observe something. In Matthew 13, he says, in all the four instances, they all heard the word. One didn't understand. One refused the word to enter. The other heard the word in his heart, but his desire to be the wealthiest person from his hometown crowded the word. He wanted to be the most, he wanted to win the Nobel Prize at all costs. He gathered the word. Marriage and so legitimate things. However, it crowded the word. And then he was unfruitful. The fourth one we'll see shortly. However, in Matthew 13, another scenario is presented. Matthew 13, verse 24. Where he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sows good seed in the field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed among the wheat and among the wheat and went his way. He mentions the word tares 5 more times. Or 6 more times. Or 7 more times actually. Verse 26, verse 27, verse 29, verse 30, 36, and 40. I showed you last week that word tares is the word zizanion. Z-I-Z-A-N-I-O-N. Zizanion. Zizanion means it will look exactly like wheat. You will think it's wheat. But somebody actually told me that sometimes it comes in a black format, sometimes, but it's like wheat. That is, you might not even know the difference between the zizanion and then the original thing that was planted until the very end. That's really serious. It will look like it. Those are the people Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11:26, calls false brethren, and Galatians 2. He calls them false brethren. Why? They heard the false gospel. This is different from a guy that refused to believe the facts of the gospel. This one, it is what he heard. He heard the false gospel. It's a false brother. In Galatians 1, 6 and 7, Paul calls this another gospel. He hears another gospel. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. He was only enticed. But in the demonstration of the spirit of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If somebody's faith stands in excellency of speech and the wisdom of men, is he saved? He's not saved. So he will be a tear. He will be among believers. You will find them in your offices. You can even find them in your church. You'll find them in your colleges. You'll find them in your university. You find them. And you may not even detect. You may not know. You may not know that. So he calls this one tares. But Jesus says, there are those who are not built upon me, upon the rock. See, I'm built upon the rock. Hallelujah. I like that phrase a lot because that is the motto of my school. Built on the rock. So, back to that parable, Matthew 13. Let's look at the fourth person. So, can there be growth without the sincere gospel? No. Let's start again. Can there be salvation outside the gospel of Christ? So, can there be growth outside the gospel of Christ? No. Sometimes, what you tell people is repeat the gospel to them. If you go on evangelism, and somebody says, I'm a Christian, I said so and so. Don't let that dissuade you. Share the gospel. I once preached somewhere, I don't want to mention the church. When I was through preaching, the head of the denomination responded to the altar call. The head. And many of their leaders. Some are not saved. Because it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. How shall they call on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear God who have not believed? How can they believe without their heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they are sent? Romans 10, 14, 15, 16, 17. Because the faith is by hearing the message of Christ. Hallelujah. Some just wanted a problem solution. Some just left secret call. That's all. That's all. They just say, I'm not going again. I'm not going here again. That's all. It's not that they believe the gospel. That's not it. Some didn't just want to be poor again. That's popular. I know a guy like that who joined the church because they told him in his, I think in his hometown or something, like, if you want to marry, you go to the church. So this sister, she got married to him in the church. So on the wedding night, she slept on the bed. She didn't see him on the bed again. And where is he? She looked down and she saw someone on a praying mat. Honey. Sugar. He said, I am a Muslim. I came to your church for you. He joined the workforce. Went through the motions. Because he said, I will do anything for you. And you were believing it. He only practiced what he sang. I will do anything for you. I said, oh. You know? And that's what he did. He did anything. Including salvation. Back to the parable. Matthew 13. You learning something? Verse 23. He that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands. You know how the word understand? Sui neimi. He put it again. He knew the gospel. He knew it's Christ's work. He knew it's forgiveness of sins. He may not have all the details, but he knew it. He understood it. Because 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, if our gospel be hid, is he to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. The word is Noema, N-O-E-M-A. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded their minds. The way they reason. So they don't reflect, they don't reason with you, God's word. He uses that word in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Devices of the enemy. 3:14. He blinds the minds, that's the law. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 11:3 and Philippians 4:7. It means the way man reasons, the way his intelligence. So he says, this man understood it. Then he says, which beareth fruit. He bears fruit. The same word in Mark 4:20 and 28 and Luke 8:15. He bears fruit because there's fruit to the faith. Romans 7. Hallelujah. You learning something? Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to one another, even to him that is raised from the dead, and we should bring forth fruit unto God. Bring forth fruit unto God. Verse 5. For now we are delivered from the law, and being dead wherein we were held, where we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. And verse 7 now. Romans 7. Oh, I've read verse 5. Okay, I'm done. Okay, verse 4. I read verse 4. Oh, verse 5. I missed verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did walk in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So he mentions fruit. That's the word there, fruit. Now look at Colossians 1:6. Now I said that Paul never got to Colossae, even though they were his sheep, as it were. But look at what he says about them in Colossae. Colossians 1:6. Colossae. I'll start from 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints. Look at the love you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is common to you, as in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the way you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. He says there's fruit. Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That means your increase in the knowledge of God will be seen in the fruit that you bear. Not in the scriptures that you know, but in the fruit that you bear. Of course, you can't bear fruit without the word. So he says it bears fruit. Luke 8 shows us something else about this fellow. Luke 8, where he differs from the third scenario, from the third soil. Luke 8, verse 15. Having heard the word, he says he kept it and brought forth fruit with patience. He kept it. He heard it, he believed it, then he kept it. The other one, he is crowded. Can you remember? But that means this fellow, just like that, Acts 2:42, he is consistently devoted. So there can't be salvation without the gospel. And there can't be spiritual growth without the gospel. So faith in Christ before growth. Before you give people, tell people what to do, come for this program. Share the gospel with them. Is that very clear? Share the gospel. Faith in Christ, just like James said, is what produces the works. It's not the works that produce the faith. It's the faith that produces the works. The first thing is their faith in Christ. So, is this spiritual growth? Someone is very active, is all over the place. Don't call it spiritual growth yet. It might not be spiritual growth. It may just be very active, very committed. Some, they just came from Christian homes. So it's just normal for them. I used to have someone like that. Very committed. Used to read Our Daily Bread, a very wonderful material, no doubt. And stuff like that. Then she got married to a Muslim. And so I said, somebody once told me, said, how can you say someone cannot marry a Muslim? That's discrimination. I said, it is. That's no doubt. For what fellowship is discrimination? And so I now asked her, when I was a bit older, I asked her, why did you marry him? Because I used to see you when we were younger. You used to go to church. She said, actually, I was not born again. The truth is this, when I asked her this question, I was already in the ministry, so I wasn't hearing, I wasn't coming to light for the first time on what the gospel was, but I was stunned because that devotion was serious. I wasn't born again. That if you brought the Muslim praying things, if you brought it to me to pray, I would have prayed with you too. Now, because I came from a Christian home, it was therefore my natural leaning to go to church. I said, ah, you should go to this service. I said, no, I was not born again. Wow. So sometimes you need to be sure, before people get into activities, have they believed the gospel? Without that, you can't have growth. So get that. Let's begin to close from here. Spiritual growth, therefore, we'll take it from there next week, must be built on the proper facts of the gospel. Spiritual growth, therefore, must be built on the proper facts of the gospel. The first thing is, are you saved? Not come and do this. Come and join our church. I was so surprised one time when I was in university, and then I was pastoring outside school, so I said, let me find a fellowship to attend, just to identify with one. So I came for this service, and they preached fine. I can't even remember the sermon so well, but so they said, this is the first time, stand up. And people came up. And it was interesting how they did it. People came up like this, up on the stage, as first time, and the service was still going on. So as people were standing, they just, there was a swarm of church workers just came around. Do you want to join ushering? Do you want to join this? Do you want, And he said, no, don't take it. It's our own. It's for the choir. Now, I was younger then, so I had time to do some things. What they gave me, come to feel, I chilled it down. And I walked like this in the middle like this. And I walked out. And I never returned again. I looked at them. Rubbish. First salvation. Eventually, in those days, people rose to be cell leaders, pastors, who were staunch cult boys. They were not born. In fact, one of them was my classmate. Well, when the final year, the 500 of them, he told me he was the PA to the pastor. He said I was not saved. Because that was how they wanted to grow at all costs. No. You see, let's treasure churches and ministries that stick to the gospel. If you don't treasure it today, somewhere in eternity, you will. I learned of another church. They say, you can join the church. A Muslim joined the church, and she was a drummer. And they allow you to join. You don't even pray to God. There's over the time, they will now believe that you will believe. What nonsense is that? What nonsense is that? The first thing, salvation. Philip met the Enoch, the first thing, salvation. Paul in the house of Cornelius, salvation. Paul and Silas in the house of the jailer, salvation. Day of Pentecost, salvation. When Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus, today, salvation is coming to your house. First, what? Salvation. Why are we praying for kings and those in authority? First Timothy chapter 3. Who will have all men to be saved? Verse 4 and 5. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. In John 15, Jesus spoke about himself. I am the vine, he says, the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. In verse 2, he says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Don't forget, every branch in me, that's a saved man, that bears not fruit, he takes away. Go and get this so you understand this story. The husbandman, no, the vine, the husbandman, and the branch. And that's like fruitfulness. We taught this series before. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges, that may bring for more fruit. You are clean to the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. That's faith in Christ. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except you abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me, that's the guy who believes the gospel. And I in him. The same brings forth fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, that is a non-believer. He is cast forth as a branch. He is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. Don't forget, the one that wasn't bearing fruit was in him. That's saved. The one that was cast in the fire was never in him. Are you following what I'm saying here? But they were both branches. The first thing is that fellow in Christ, as he responded to the gospel, I remember crusades of those days that people would come and they only wanted to see the preacher. And that's why people have said this, I'm not going to argue against it, that the most effective form of winning souls, as we call it, is one-on-one. One-on-one. That's why we must take it as a challenge to preach. There are too many activities going on in the churches. Even us, if we're not careful, you might not be knowing whether men are saved or not. There's Christianese language, Christianese action. People now know how to go to church, how to dress the church, how to carry Bible to church. But have they heard about Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. We'll continue next week. You blessed? Let's turn to our feet, lift our hands.